Thou hast magnified thy mercy. Isn't that awesome? Amen. Thou hast magnified thy mercy. Amen. We understand that the principle of magnification makes things appear larger than they even are. And that does not necessarily change the characteristic of the object magnified, but it certainly enhances our ability to observe and to understand what we're looking at when something is magnified. Amen. And so God's mercy is magnified. Now, it's not made bigger because His mercy is already as big as you could possibly make it. You can't make anything about God bigger. You can't make anything about God better. It's already the best that it can be. It's already the greatest that it can be. And that also applies to God's mercy. I would like for us to look a little bit into the situation where the mercy was magnified. I don't know exactly when Lot began to understand that he was truly in trouble, but surely somewhere along the way it began to dawn on him, I have made a grave mistake. I don't know if I'll ever be able to recover from this, but I have made a very grave mistake. When he watched his daughters as they were married to men of the city of Sodom and watched them walk away and begin to delve into a lifestyle that he knew was not pleasing to him and certainly not pleasing to God, and something surely smote the conscience of Lot, and he began to think, I have made a serious mistake. When he began to watch his wife as she began to embrace the immorality of the city of Sodom, and Sodom began to sink deep into her heart and into her spirit, and something grieved him. The Bible said that he was vexed daily with the unrighteousness, because there was still something that was retained in the heart of Lot that he got from his uncle Abraham, that there is a God and he's a righteous God and there's just one God. And there was something in him that could not forsake that righteous God. But he watched all of it falling apart before his very eyes. And then he was sitting at the gate, as was his custom, one day as evening was drawing near, the shadows were lengthening, the sun was fading. And he watched as two men came into the city. There was something very different about them. There was something outstanding about them. And so he went over and introduced himself. And there was something that caused him to extend the invitation and say to those men, would you please come and be my guest for the night? I'll prepare a meal for you and you can be on your way in the morning whenever you please. And they said, no, we'll just stay in the streets tonight. And knowing Sodom, he said, oh no, that wouldn't be a good thing. You need to come to my house. I want you to come and be with me. And so he invited unwittingly, not knowing what he was doing, because those men were more than just men. Those were angels of God that God had dispersed to the city of Sodom for the purpose of salvation for Lot and his family, and the purpose of judgment for the city of Sodom. And so he took those men into his house, and the Bible said when the men of the city saw them enter in the house of Lot, as darkness drew. I read something today that I thought was very interesting from Tony Bailey, a friend from Bible college years. He said, why is it that when children are young, they fear the darkness, and when men become old, they fear the light? When children are young, they fear the darkness, but as men grow old, they fear the light. The Bible said men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And so as the night came and it approached, the Bible says that that men in the city of Sodom gathered around the house of Lot and surrounded the house, and with their loud drunken voices they began to demand that those men be brought out to them so they could take them into the city and into their own places, and they could commit the acts of homosexuality with those men and defile them. But there was something in the heart. I'm telling you, Lot became a wicked city. Brother Grissom, that couldn't happen in America. It's on its way, friend. It's on its way. Amen. It's not all there yet. Thank God there's still some righteous among us. There's still a conscience. There's still a voice in the pulpit. There's still prayer in the pew. Amen. There's still altars in the home. There's still some righteousness in our nation. There's still a people crying out against the darkness. But I'm telling you, the spirit of Sodom is alive and well, even in our own beloved United States of America today. So they demanded the men. Lot refused, would not let them leave the house. Went outside to reason with them. But I'm telling you, when lust has conceived, the Bible said it's going to bring forth sin. There was no stopping. It was in their heart. It had overtaken them. Their mind was filled with it. And there was nothing that would appease them. So the men, the angels that he did not understand who he was dealing with. The Bible says those angels reached out and pulled Lot back into the house. And they smote the men outside with blindness. You would think the judgment of God would have caused them to disperse. But in their blindness, they still clawed, trying to get inside the door to fulfill the lust of their flesh. And they were not able to do so because God's mercy came upon them. And finally, the angel said to Lot, they said, if you got anybody else in this city that you care about, you need to go get them because we are sent to bring judgment on this city. And Lot quickly made his way out the door through the darkened streets. He went down and he began to bang on the door of his first son-in-law and his daughter. And he said, you got to listen to me. Two angels from God came to my house tonight. And judgment's going to come on this city in the morning. And God is going to turn this city to ash. You better listen to what I'm telling you. You better understand what I'm trying to say. Come on, son. Come on, daughter. We've got to get out of this city because judgment is coming with the dawn. And they laughed at him. They said, oh, daddy, we've heard that kind of stuff all of our lives. God's not going to do anything like that. There's not even, who even knows if there is a God? The Bible said they laughed and they mocked him. His own daughter, his own son-in-law, went down the street, knocked on the other door. Same thing. Please, please listen to me. I don't want you to be destroyed with this city. Daddy, nothing's going to happen. It's just your imagination. You're full of all that old Bible stuff. You're full of all that stuff as Uncle Abraham used to talk about. Not anything going to happen here. And they laughed and they mocked and they carried on. And so with a heavy heart, Lot made his way back to his own house. He opened the door and shaking his head, perhaps tears running down his own cheeks. They won't listen. They won't hear. Amen. As the dawn began to rise, angels laid their hands on Lot and his wife and his two daughters. And they said, come on, it's time to go. And like reluctant children, they drew them out of the city. And they brought them to the plain. And the Bible said as they got there, the judgment of God was getting ready to fall. They said, you better go to the mountain, escape to the mountain. I don't know exactly why he said what he said, but to me it's very interesting what Lot did say. He said, oh no, not so, not so. Verse 19, behold now, look at verse number 20. We've already read 19. He said, behold, this city is near. Everybody say this city is near to flee into, and it's a little one. And if you just let me escape thither, it is just a little one, and my soul shall live. Amen. Just in other words, he said, I just got out of the city. I'm not ready for the mountain yet. You know, God didn't create a city in the beginning for Adam and Eve. The Bible said he created a garden. Men created cities. God made gardens. God has a thing, I guess, about gardens. Amen. That's where he went to pray, wasn't it? It was in the garden. And it just sees there's something about gardens that attracts the attention of God. And there's something about cities that tends to multiply sin. Our cities are the most wicked places on our planet. in the most vile places. And people seek to go to cities because there's a anonymity there, and there's hiding places in the city. And people can become things that they can't be where everybody knows them. Amen. There's something to be said for a small town. Amen. Praise God. Yes, small towns have problems. Yes, small towns have difficulties. Yes, small towns have sinners, but everybody knows. And they'd have more if, but people just don't want you to know. Right? Amen. I had a friend, he had a hot rod car, and he was a fast car. He outran the police, and the cop couldn't stop him. When he drove up to his house, the policeman was sitting at the table drinking coffee with his dad. He couldn't catch him, but he knew where he lived. And it was, well, there was something to be said for that, folks. You know, it kind of keeps you in check just a little bit, right? Uh-huh. Because everybody knows you. You know other people. Amen. And it's a little bit of a check and a little bit of a reserve. But Lot wasn't ready for the mountain. He said, it's just a little city. It's just a little city. Let me go there. That's what I'm familiar with. Just a little city. I'm not ready for the mountain. I don't know if I can make it to the mountain. Amen. But the Bible said that he called, the name of the city, by the way, was Zoar, which means little. So I guess it was a little city, literally. Amen. And as the day dawned, the Bible said that the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. It was an inundation like the lava of a volcano, and it filled the valley. And archaeologists say that Sodom and Gomorrah are located in the southern part of the Dead Sea and lie under the sea today. I don't know if that's altogether true, but that's what we're told, that's where the cities lie, and that's where the city is. And the Bible says he overthrew the cities and all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. And verse number 26 is so disheartening. If he hadn't had enough, the Bible said, and his wife, that is Lot's wife, looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And I'm told by scientists and have read that when human flesh comes in contact with the lava volcanic explosion, that it turns to a chemical like salt. And so apparently Lot's wife not only looked back, but apparently she went back. The angel could get her out of Sodom, but he could not get Sodom out of her. And so she wanted to go back there and longed to go back there. And even ripping her hand from the strong hand of the angel, she ran back to what she was familiar with and perished. And then Jesus reminded us, he said, remember Lot's wife. Once you get out, don't go back. God brought you out. Don't you go back. God took you out of that, and he got you in the right direction. And your life is headed the right way. Don't you turn around now and go back to what you used to know and what you used to be. I know that it's not easy. We said it in the Sunday school lesson. Life sometimes is hard. You got to endure it. It's not easy. But I'm telling you, you didn't have it easy before you got here either. Don't you forget, before you knew God, you had hard times. When you didn't know the Lord, life was not easy. So don't you let discouragement now make you turn back. If you think it's hard living with God, you ought to remember what it was like without God. Amen. Praise the Lord. People have all kinds of crutches today that they're trying to depend on all the time, accusing us as we're using religion as a crutch. But I'll take Jesus over alcohol any day. I'll take Jesus over any kind of narcotic any day. Amen. I'll take Jesus over the psychiatrist's couch any day. Amen. I'll take Jesus over just worldly philosophies and uncertain ideas any day. Amen. Praise God. You go ahead and take all that stuff, but just give me my faith in Jesus Christ. Give me the peace and the joy and the righteousness of the Holy Ghost, and I'm going to be all right. Let me live on. If you want to call it delusion, that's fine with me. Just let me live in my delusion, and you live in your reality, and I'll have joy. Amen. I know what it was like without him. I know what it's like with him. Amen. It's so much better on this side than it was before I found him. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. People don't know until they experience what it's like. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want you to understand that today. Don't you listen to somebody. They may have more degrees in the thermometer, but if they don't have Jesus, they don't have this experience. I'm not saying education is not important. I believe in education. I don't believe God's glorified in ignorance. I believe the more we can learn, the better off we are, as long as we're learning the right thing. There's some things not worth polluting your mind with. Amen. Praise God. But to learn true things and knowledgeable things and righteous things, it's a good thing. It will enhance our work with God and our walk with God. Amen. Praise God. So his wife turned back. Another heartache. Another heartache. You can imagine by this time, Lot is thinking, oh, I wish I'd never gone to the city. If I just would have let Abraham take the valley, and if I just would have went the other direction, perhaps my life would have turned out better. I've lost some of my daughters. I've lost my sons-in-law. Now I've lost my wife. It's costly. I'm just saying to you today that sin is always costly. It's always going to cost you. Don't you let the devil lie to you and say, well, you know, it won't hurt anybody but me. Oh, yes, it will. It's always costly. It's always going to cost you. You're not going to get out unscathed. Amen. And the sad thing is, it's hard to get out. It's easier to get into it than it is to get out of it. Amen. Well, I'm just, Brother Grissom, I'm just going to experiment just a little bit. Amen. No, you won't experiment just a little bit. Next thing you know, you'll be in over your head. Amen. And you won't know how to get out, because you cannot get out by yourself. But for the grace of God, none of us would be out today. All of us would still be there. But for the grace of God that came, and that mercy that was magnified, we wouldn't be where we are now. Thank God for mercy. Thank God for mercy that he magnified on our behalf. Amen. And so Lot got out of the city. But again, he didn't escape Sodom. It was in both of his daughters' heart. Yes, they got out. They were alive, but it didn't leave them. There was no righteousness in them. And so they got their father drunk and committed the sin of incest. Both of them bore a child by their father. And their names were Moab and Ben-Ammi, which became the tribes of Moab and the tribe of Ammon, which were thorns in the side of Israel for generations. Amen. But I'm just saying today that he just made a mistake. He went the wrong way. And Mom and Dad, please listen. I know sometimes it gets real hard and you want to give up and you want to quit, but you got to keep going for the sake of yourself and for the sake of your children. You can't give up and you can't stop. It's just too important. It's just too important. I know sometimes it looks easy on the other side, but it's not easy. It's not easy. It's not easy. It's not easy. Amen. Praise God. There's nothing out there. It's just husk and it's emptiness and it's vanity. Praise God. This is where purpose is, and this is where fulfillment is, and this is where reality is. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Thank God for mercy today. God's mercy is magnified. It's magnified in this place today. The mercy of the Lord is here. Amen. Praise God. The Bible said that God is plenteous in mercy. The Bible said that God is rich in mercy. Amen. The Bible said that God's mercies are tender. Amen. The Bible said that his mercies are abundant. Amen. God's mercy, God's mercy, God's mercy. Thank God for mercy. Amen. The book of Psalm, or 136 Psalm, amen, is 26 verses long. And every one of those verses, it reiterates over and over again, and his mercy endureth forever. And his mercy endureth forever. Israel would sing that refrain. I don't know how they did it. But if it was like a choir, I'm sure somebody would sing one part. And then there'd be another part of the choir that sang, and his mercy endureth forever. And then they would sing another portion. And the other part of the choir would sing, and his mercy endureth forever. And then they would sing another portion. He would say, and his mercy endureth forever. Amen. It's as if God wants you to know something here today. That his mercy endures forever. If I could do one thing in this service here this morning, I would like to magnify his mercy here. Amen. Somebody here today, maybe the devil's been lying to you and he's been telling you that it's too late and too much. Amen. God could never forgive you. God could never restore you. God could never help you. I want to tell you something today. His mercy is magnified in this place. His mercy is magnified in this place. His mercy is magnified in this place. Hallelujah. We're doing everything we can today to amplify the mercy of God. Hallelujah. I want you to know that God is merciful. If God just wanted judgment, you wouldn't be here. If God just wanted to judge you, you wouldn't be here. There wouldn't have been a Calvary. There wouldn't have been a Jesus Christ. There wouldn't have been a Bethlehem. Amen. None of that would have happened. Angels would not have brought the glad tidings. None of that would ever have happened if God didn't want to have mercy. Mercy is what brought all of that to fruition. And it's what brings this peace and this presence of God that's in this house this morning, because God's mercy has been magnified. Let's stand together. Praise God. God wants to magnify his mercy to somebody here today. Amen. God wants to magnify his mercy here today. You know, some of us have a hard time being merciful. Our world today it's not a merciful place to live. I said, it's not a merciful place to live. We live in such a litigious generation. Everybody wants to sue somebody. Everybody wants to hold somebody responsible. First thing that happens is when something goes wrong, you're going to blame somebody. Got to find fault with somebody. There used to be a thing in life called an accident. We don't have those anymore. We don't have those anymore. Now somebody's got to pay. Amen. But there's still a God in heaven that's merciful. Oh, he doesn't look past your need. He doesn't look past your fault. It's not that he doesn't see your sin and your mistake. He sees it clearly, vividly. But more than that, the songwriter said he looked beyond my fault and he saw my need. He looked beyond my fault and he saw my need. That's what God does today. He doesn't just see the sin. He doesn't just see the glaring mistake. But he looks beyond that and he sees the need. And motivated by his love, amen, the Bible said he has mercy. He extends mercy. Amen. And he says, all right. Yep, that was not the right thing to do. But come on, get up. Let's try it again. Let's do it again. I believe you can do better next time. I'm here to help you. Let's do it one. Let's do it again. Let's try it again. God's merciful today. God's merciful today. His mercy is in this house, and His mercy endureth forever. Praise God. Maybe somebody here today needs some mercy. Maybe somebody needs to just have a little talk with Jesus. Amen, because that'll make it right. Amen. Jesus, I am sorry. Again. I messed up. Again. I didn't do well. Again. I missed the mark. Again. I fell down. Again. Magnify your mercy in this place. Magnify your mercy in this place.